You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm so glad to have you here with me today, whether you're tuning in for the first time on your commute, folding laundry, or just, you know, having 5 minutes of peace to yourself before, you know, getting the kids from school pickup. I'm glad to have you here, and this episode is for you. Today, we are diving into a question that I get asked a lot and I see as a common topic amongst therapists. And this can be for those who are just starting their private practice or even for those who are kind of reevaluating where they are in their private practice. And this is the question of, should I take insurance or should I be private pay? Now, as much as I wish that there was a one-size-fits-all answer, there just isn't. The right model really comes down to what I believe is about your season of life, your values, your goals, and your capacity, which, let's be honest, that changes for us constantly, especially if we are juggling things like motherhood or the mental load and overwhelm of it all. So in today's episode, we're going to be taking a deep, unfiltered look at both models. And so I'm going to walk you through the pros and cons of both models and dig into how each one impacts your day-to-day life. And then also kind of explore maybe some of the mindset blocks that might be influencing your decision and really help you to get some clarity on what will actually support you best in this season. Not just a theory, but, you know, practical, emotionally, and financially. After listening to this episode, I'm hoping that you will walk away feeling like you have a clearer path forward or a direction of one that maybe honors who you are, what you need, and kind of where you're headed. So I'm going to start kind of with my own story. When I first started in private practice, this was back when I was getting set up in my own solo practice. And as I was also starting that group practice that I've talked about in other episodes, I really thought that insurance was the way that you had to build a practice. I thought that I needed to be on every insurance panel. Now, if you know my story, I come from a background of working in community mental health, and every insurance, when you work in community mental health, every insurance is taken, Medicaid and Medicare included. And so I really felt like, well, that's just what you're supposed to do. And so I started the process of getting credentialed with all of the insurance plans. I did it myself, and I honestly had no idea what I was doing. There were mistakes made along the way in the credentialing process, but I did figure it out, and I eventually ended up doing the credentialing for all of the clinicians in the group practice that I was a part of. But what I didn't realize was that not all insurance plans are created equal. I was so used to just having to take whatever insurance a client had that I didn't really think about what would it mean for my practice, what would it mean for my own income if I took certain insurance plans. I quickly realized that by accepting every insurance plan, coupled with also not having a niche, I really opened myself up to not really making the kind of money that I needed to be making to pay my bills. I wasn't always working with the types of clients that I really wanted to be working with. And so I oftentimes found myself feeling resentful in ways that I really wasn't proud of. And I eventually realized that the resentment was tied to not feeling like my time was being valued in the work that I was doing and what I was being paid. And so when I left the group practice and I decided to start my own solo practice, I knew that I could not repeat the past. I wasn't just going to accept every insurance, especially without knowing what I was going to get reimbursed. And I also wasn't in a position at that point to be able to build my practice slowly and have a slower start with gaining clients, as sometimes can happen when you are just cash pay only. So I decided to do a bit of both. I wanted to be able to provide care for those who needed to use insurance, but making sure that the insurance plan would compensate me at a rate that wasn't going to make me feel resentful. So I've been selective in which insurance plans I accept. Since I am licensed in multiple states, there are some states that I only accept one particular insurance, and then there are other states where I accept multiple plans. And I've really focused on my marketing to make sure that it speaks to my ideal client, those that would be able to afford my cash rate. And a little less than half of my practice is private pay. So I have both insurance and private pay in my practice. So I really do come at this from both perspectives. And I have considered going off certain insurance panels. I have already in the past, ones that no longer really serve me in what I need to be able to make. And so I have considered just going off all insurance panels or going private pay completely. But as I really reflected about it and thought about where I am in this season of life, you know, I have a husband that is still in the military. And so we move frequently. I have young kids that need a lot from me. And so I have chosen to stick with my current marketing plan that I have and to continue to take select insurances while we continue to move around. So that way I don't have to constantly kind of be feeding the marketing wheel of private pay quite as intensely. I still absolutely have to do that to be able to draw in my ideal clients, but it doesn't have to be necessarily with the same level of maybe like vigor or intensity that I would have to be doing if I was just private pay. The truth is that taking insurance in and of itself is not necessarily a bad decision. It's just for me, it's the right decision that works in this season of life. And it maybe it is the right one for you in your season of life, or maybe it's not. So I'm going to break down kind of both models, not to decide which one is better of private pay versus taking insurance, but to really help you decide which one is better for you right now. So let's start off by talking about insurance-based practices. I'm going to kind of go through pros and cons of this model. So first, let's just be completely honest. Let's put it out on the table. The reality is insurance panels are an easy way to help fill your caseload, and it can happen a little bit quicker than if you're just private pay. If you are newly starting your private practice or leaving agency work, working with an insurance plan can help feel like a security blanket. You are more likely to get clients quickly if you do take insurance, which can also contribute to feeling like you need to take every insurance plan because, oh, I just need to get all the clients. But don't make the mistake that I did by doing that and then ending up with a caseload that you're not really happy with because it doesn't really align with what you want to be doing. When you take insurance, you don't have to be quite as focused on your marketing because you do have that kind of referral network built in through taking the insurance. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to market. You absolutely still do. You need to network, you need a website, and you really need to identify your niche. But just remember that you do have that leg up by taking an insurance plan because they are referring to you or clients are able to find you through their directory. And for some people, and this feels kind of controversial, it shouldn't be, because I have seen people say, oh, well, you know, it's unethical to not take insurance. I don't believe that whatsoever. However, for some people, accepting insurance can feel like a way of honoring their values. You may be serving a population or a client base that couldn't afford therapy without their insurance. For me, I accept TRICARE in my practice, and I continue to do so because I'm a military spouse myself, and I know how hard it can be to find a provider that takes TRICARE and how important it is for military families to have access to providers. So that is one of the reasons why I do accept that insurance plan. Now, for the cons of taking insurance, the reality is that reimbursement rates for insurance are not great. They're usually pretty low, you know, shockingly low in some cases, insultingly low in some cases. Most insurance plans are not going to be reimbursing you at your full cash rate. And some insurance plans, they're even reimbursing at, say, levels like $50 less than some other plans. So before you go through the process to get credentialed, and definitely before you sign any kind of contract with an insurance plan, you need to know what the rates are and is it worth your time to take that plan. you cannot always get that information right up front. And for providers, there is often kind of a stipulation in their contracts that they cannot disclose their exact rate. But if you talk with other clinicians in your area or in your state and say, who are some of the insurance plans that you typically recommend working with? Can you give me a ballpark around what I could expect for reimbursement? That is a really great way of kind of getting a sense of, okay, maybe this is a plan that does fit with my budget. This is a plan that I've heard horror stories about and I don't want to work with. And just to kind of get a better sense of like, what are we talking about as far as what my reimbursement rate would be? Now, since reimbursement rates typically are lower than your cash rate when you take an insurance plan, you do oftentimes have to see more clients to meet your income goals, which if you're not careful can lead to burnout, especially if you are navigating, you know, big life transitions like motherhood or a move or leaving one job to go to another or working multiple jobs. You need to crunch the numbers and look at your budget to determine if you can afford to take insurance plans. In my Bill to Run program, there is an incredible calculator that I've created that doesn't just calculate the income that you want to make per year divided by the weeks and all of that stuff, but really looks at time off. What do you need to pay yourself? What do you need to pay your business? And what does that number actually come out to, especially with the number of clients you want to see? And so crunching the numbers in that can really, really help with figuring out, okay, can I afford to also take insurance if this is what my budget is and if this is what I need for my take-home pay? Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting. With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. Billing insurance can also be confusing, and there are some plans that are absolutely a nightmare for some providers. I have to speak that generally, I've had a pretty positive experience. You know, I have definitely been selective with the plans that I take, especially after leaving the group practice. And I use Simple Practice for filing my claims. I'll be honest, that has made things so much easier. It's a simple process that I love to use Simple Practice for. But with taking an insurance plan, you do have to wait to get paid. When you charge somebody your cash rate, you get paid right away when you charge their card. But with an insurance plan, after you submit the claim, it can sometimes take anywhere from a few days to several weeks to get paid. So your cash flow can sometimes be off. So that's just something to know to think through ahead of time. And, you know, one of the big things that I've, you know, a lot of people, you know, don't like about taking insurance is that in some ways you don't have full control with your practice. You know, not completely, but when it comes to the insurance plans, right? You don't control the rates they're going to reimburse you. You don't control how long it takes to get paid. And you don't control whether or not you're going to have to justify a client's need for care, right, in your documentation. So that is just something to kind of keep in mind when you are considering taking insurance. So now let's talk private pay. With private pay, there are absolutely a lot of pros. You get to set your rate, period. You decide what your time is worth, your expertise, your energy. No one else is going to tell you what your time is worth. No one else is going to say, yep, I'm not going to pay you that because, you know, our contract says otherwise. You get to make the decision of what your rate is and what you need to take home to be able to have the financial security that you need. And if you are setting a higher rate than, say, what the insurance reimbursement would be, which most likely you are, then that means you are also most likely going to be able to see fewer clients, which means a lighter caseload, better boundaries, and more space for just life and breathing room. You also get to avoid the billing drama that comes with insurance sometimes. You get paid at the time of service. Once that card is charged, that money is coming to your account. You don't have to wait for payment to come later. And the only person that you have to answer to with regards to billing is your client. You're not having to call claims. You're not having to deal with, you know, setting up transfers and all of that. It's just you and your client. Now, with the positives of private pay, definitely comes some cons that I really think are important to consider. Again, I am not saying you should just do private pay, you should just do insurance-based, but I do think there are some really important things to consider. With being private pay only, it does require more visibility. So your marketing needs to be on point. You're going to need to market your practice more intentionally to really attract the right clients. It has to speak to your pain points of your ideal client, and not just your ideal client, but the ideal client that can afford your fee. It can also be slower to build a cash pay practice. And it is absolutely possible to have a private practice that is private pay only. Like, that is absolutely a thing. But if you are just starting out and that is the route that you're thinking of going, you do need to prepare financially that it's going to take some time to get what you consider to be a full caseload. You know, especially with private pay, I have found that it can just be a little bit slower to fill that practice initially. So when you're considering that, make sure that you budget and plan ahead that it may take a little bit more time to have, you know, the consistent income with private pay only that you would like. But private pay does give you that freedom, right? It gives you freedom, but it also asks you to be bold. It asks you to really own your worth, to set boundaries and build a practice that supports you just as much as it supports your clients. And it can feel really vulnerable in setting that fee and saying it to the client and accepting that payment, but it can also be really powerful. So now that we've kind of talked about the pros and cons of both models, I want to kind of shift into what I think are some of the most important lenses for you to consider your decision. It's not whether one is better than the other. It's not whether one is right or wrong, but really I want you to think about what is your season of life, because your business should serve your life, not the other way around. And here's what I mean by that. It is so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that you have to run your practice like everyone else. Maybe you've seen a friend take insurance and fill their caseload in a month and that you think, well, that's what I should do. Or you follow someone on Instagram who is only private pay and is constantly talking about their $10,000 a month. And you think, well, maybe that's the way I'm supposed to do because that sounds really good. But what they're doing isn't necessarily what you need, because your life, the reality of your own energy, your family, your support system, your goals is different, and your business has to fit your life. So let's walk through a few common seasons that I see with the clinicians that I coach and how you might approach this decision based off of the season that you're in right now. So season number one, maybe you are pregnant or postpartum. This one is close to my heart. I have gone through maternity leave in private practice 3 times, and let me tell you, there's no one way to do it. During pregnancy, especially in the first and third trimesters, you might be dealing with, you know, fatigue, nausea, brain fog, needing to eat every hour, just the overwhelm that comes in pregnancy. And once the baby comes, your sleep, your time, your energy, your hormones are just completely upended. So if you're in this season, private pay may give you the breathing room that you need. You can create a smaller caseload at a higher rate by charging a bit more for private pay. You can avoid the administrative burden that comes with an insurance billing practice. You don't have to have that extra stress on top of it. And this is a season where flexibility matters most. Private pay can provide you more autonomy so you can truly rest and recover. But from an insurance perspective, being insurance-based might allow you to not have to focus on marketing as intensely if you feel that you don't have the energy to do much more outside of seeing clients. And sometimes being on an insurance panel may make it easier for clients to come back to you after maternity leave. So again, these are just things to consider if you are in that season. And season number two, maybe you are a military spouse like me, or you are in a family that your family just relocates often like mine does. And so you may be familiar with or have not yet discovered the challenges of building and rebuilding a practice every few years with a move. In these moments, insurance can be a really helpful tool. If you are in the military, maybe TRICARE is something you want to consider taking. And so getting paneled with a system like TRICARE might give you quicker referrals in your new state if you already have, a connection with that insurance plan. Working with insurance while moving can also kind of help stabilize your income while you get licensed or set up in your new location to practice. You know, for me, being able to have insurance plans that I've been credentialed with and that I've continued to work with and see clients with while I get set up in my new state has really helped me in my moves and allowed me to have that continued income without worrying about like what is happening in the state where I'm getting set up. It's allowed me to continue to get paid easily while I'm getting everything set up with life and at our new duty station. But it's not the only option. Private pay offers you the same kind of portability, but with a little bit more ease, as you don't have to worry about things like a virtual address or making changes to your information with insurance companies. If you have built your practice solidly through referrals and, you know, you have marketed yourself well through your website in your previous location, those clients can stay with you as you get licensed in your next location. And clients in that state will probably continue to find you with ease. Once you have built a reputation, you have that referral network, your clients are going to follow you, you know, as long as you are still allowed to practice in the state where you are moving to. And so a website that attracts that ideal client that really speaks to that cash pay client in your niche is going to be extremely beneficial for you. So if you move frequently with the military or for other reasons, taking kind of like a hybrid model approach like I have may be the way to go. You know, leveraging insurance for kind of quick referrals while building your private pay network and strategy over time is something to kind of consider. Now, season three may be that you're in a place of ready to leave that agency job. You know, you're tired of the 9-to-5 and you know that it's time to go, but you're nervous. You know that you want to get out of that agency or that community mental health job, but you need the financial security to leave. I get it. I've been there. But you also want to make sure that you can pay your bills and that clients will actually find you and that you don't end up just trading kind of one kind of burnout for another. And so with a situation like this, insurance can be a great entry point. It does give you that faster traction. You may be able to get clients sooner because you may just attract clients a little bit more easily because you do accept insurance. And so that can allow you to save money to be able to then eventually leave your 9-to-5 job. It can be easier to transition into private practice full time when the client flow is steady. Just remember, though, you don't have to take all insurance plans. Be selective about the ones that you want to work with. Talk with colleagues, find out what they recommend. And remember that what you do in starting doesn't have to be forever, right? You don't have to take insurance forever. It may just be that this is what I need to kind of help get myself going. So use this time strategically. Start marketing your private pay offerings for sure. you absolutely can still get private pay clients and be working on your marketing strategies to really market to your ideal client. This is also a time to allow you to kind of practice setting your rates and your boundaries. There are so many money mindset things that come up in private practice, and I feel like I could do, and maybe I will do a whole separate episode about that, but being comfortable, getting comfortable with your rate and being able to be confident in telling new clients that rate when you have a consultation with them is such an important skill to practice. And build systems like a referral network to really help support your private pay success later. What are or who are the referral sources that will refer to you and that they are going to refer clients that you know can afford your fee? So the goal is to use insurance intentionally, not default to it indefinitely, but to use it as kind of a springboard to kind of help get yourself going. And then season four, and this is a big one that so many of us experience, but you're burnt out. You might be carrying too many clients in your practice. You may be working late hours, behind on documentation, and feeling just completely disconnected from why you started private practice in the first place. And so let me just kind of say this gently but clearly, you don't need to stay in a structure that is actively depleting you. When I work with clinicians in burnout, we look at the structure before anything else. What are your sessions costing you emotionally? How much time are you spending on admin tasks outside of sessions? Are you working with clients that you feel aligned with or whoever says yes? Private pay can give you that fresh start. You can decrease your caseload by increasing your rate. You can get clear on your niche and work only with your ideal clients. And you can finally build the version of your practice that feels like you. Burnout is not just about how many clients you have, but it's about whether the way you are working aligns with your values, your energy, and your life. So wherever you fall in these seasons, I hope that you can hear me say this, that you are not failing for needing something different. You're not behind. You're not selfish for prioritizing sustainability, whatever that may look like for you. You deserve a business model that meets your real needs emotionally, financially, and energetically. And the beauty is that you get to decide what that looks like for you now. And if you want to change it in the future, you can. So let's talk briefly about the mindset of this decision, because it's not just about our rates or our caseloads. For many of us, especially as women and moms, there are layers of guilt, worthiness, and fear. And so let me say this clearly. You are allowed to make money in your business. You are allowed to build a business that supports your life. You're allowed to prioritize your capacity without shame. And I know some of you may be listening and thinking, but what if people can't afford me? What if they say no? What if no one books at that rate? And those are all things I have said to myself at different times. And so here is what I will say. People will pay for what they value. People will pay for you because they want to work with you. Your job is to clearly communicate your value to them. You can provide accessibility without sacrificing your income. And so maybe that looks like a few sliding scale spots. Maybe it's a group offering or a workshop. Maybe it's a free resource on your website. But your one-on-one time, your energy, your emotional bandwidth is sacred, and it's okay to charge accordingly. So let's get practical. These are a few questions to kind of help guide your decision. Maybe save this episode. If you're in the car, come back to this spot and write these questions down. Number one, what is your ideal weekly schedule? How many clients do you actually want to see? Number two, what are your financial goals in this season? How much time do you want for family, health, creativity, or rest? What kind of energy do you have to give? And number five, I realize I didn't give the numbers, but we're on number five. Are you willing to do the work of marketing to create more autonomy? Take a few minutes after this episode to kind of journal or voice note your answers. Again, there's no right or wrong answer. It's what is aligned for you. I'm going to kind of end here that you are not stuck. You can start with one model and shift later. You can test, you can tweak and evolve. Your practice gets to change as you change. You are the CEO of your business. You are the leader of your life, and you are absolutely capable of building something that honors your values, your voice, and your vision. If this episode gave you clarity, I want to invite you to grab my free guide called Comprehensive Connecting. It's full of scripts that you can use to build referral and networking relationships. Whether you are private pay, insurance-based, or kind of a hybrid model in between, it's a game changer in making marketing and networking feel less overwhelming. You can grab it in the show notes and find the link there. And if you want deeper support around your private practice, you can absolutely reach out to schedule a clarity and strategy session with me. And again, you can learn more about that in the show notes. I want to thank you again for being with me here today. And I really hope this episode gave you some helpful things to consider when it comes to how you want to get paid in your practice. Share this episode with a colleague you think needs to hear it too. And remember, you were raised to empower your clients, your family, and yourself. I'll see you back here next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.